Welcome to Zichu Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Masechta Sukkah, Daf Nun Vav, the final Daf of the Masechta. On behalf of Bear Leibowitz and myself, as well as everyone from around the world using Zichu to help enhance their attention of the Daf, I want to thank the Friedman family once again for their generous sponsorship of the Zichu Masechta Sukkah program that was dedicated to his Nishmas, Shlomo Eliezer ben Rabbi Yaakov HaKohen, Olav HaShalom. May Kol Yisrael benefit from all of the shiurim and materials produced from Masechta Sukkah for many years to come, and Be'ezras Hashem, for many doros to come, and may we continue to remember the daf day after day, and go mechayel echayel. So the three dafs we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara brings Malchokas and Marayim concerning the order of brachas that one recites when he enters the Sukkah the first night of Sukkahs. Rav said, Sukkah v'achachach zman. When one recites Kiddush, he first recites Elisha b'Sukkah, and then a Shachianu. And Rabbi Barchana said, Zman v'achachach Sukkah. One recites Shachianu, and then Elisha b'Sukkah. The Gemara explains that Rav says that one first recites Elisha b'Sukkah because he holds Chiyuv d'yoma adiv. The obligation of the day takes precedence, meaning that the brach of Elisha b'Sukkah relates specifically to the obligation of Sukkahs. Rabbi Barchana said that one recites the Shachianu first because he holds Tadir v'Sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kodem. When that which is frequent conflicts with that which is not frequent, that which is frequent takes precedence. The Gemara attempts to connect this Malchokas to the Malchokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, regarding which comes first when reciting Kiddush on Shabbos, the bracha on the wine or the bracha on the day, but concludes that they're not necessarily the same Malchokas. Point number two, the final mission of the Masechta that brings the Malchokas regarding the division of the Lechem Upanim the rest of the year. The Tanna Kamma holds that the incoming Mishmar and the outgoing Mishmar split the Lechem Upanim equally, with each Mishmar receiving 6 loaves. Rav Yehuda holds that the incoming Mishmar receives 7 loaves, and the outgoing Mishmar receives 5 loaves. The Gemara asks what the reason is, according to Rav Yehuda, that the incoming Mishmar receives 7, and Rav Yitzchak answers, B'schar HaGafas D'Lasos, the 2 loaves are granted as compensation for closing the temple gates in the evening, meaning that those who open the gates in the morning should have had the duty to complete the job and close them at night. Since the incoming Mishmar is doing the work of the outgoing Mishmar, it behooves the outgoing Mishmar to give 1 of their loaves in payment. But the Gemara suggests that the outgoing Mishmar should tell the incoming Mishmar to remove the enactment so that the following week it will be removed from them. Abai answered, Pusina Tamba Makara, a small gourd now is better than a large gourd later. In this case, the incoming Mishmar prefers to receive all that it's entitled to immediately than to defer some of it to later. And point number 3, the Mishnah stated that the Mishmar of Bilga was penalized in that it always divided the Lechem upon him in the south. Its specific ring that was used to shech the carbon during its watch was sealed, so they had to use another Mishmar's ring. The Chalon Estuma and its specific alcove to deposit its knives was sealed. The Gemara explains that the reason for the penalties was either due to an incident involving Miriam Bas Bilga, a daughter of one of its members who became an apostate, or it was because the Mishmar was tardy in coming to the base of Migdash when it was their week to serve. The Gemara asks on the first answer if it's fair that the entire family be penalized over one daughter's actions. Abai answers that it is. As people say, Shusa dinuka b'shuka odavua odiime. The utterances of a child in public express the views of either his father or mother. When the Gemara persists and asks why the whole Mishmar should be penalized, Abai answers, Oy l'rush o oy l'shcheno. Woe to the wicked one and woe to his neighbor. The Gemara concludes conversely, Tov l'tzadik, tov l'shcheno. It will be good for the tzadik and good for his neighbor. So once again, the 3 points are number 1. The Gemara brings the Malchokas and Marayim concerning the order of brachas that one recites when he enters the Sukkah the first night of Sukkahs. Rav said, Sukkah v'achachach zman. When one recites Kiddush, he first recites Leshe b'Sukkah and then Shechianu. And Rabbi Baruchana said, Zman v'achachach Sukkah. One recites Shechianu and then Leshe b'Sukkah. The Gemara explains that Rav says that one first recites Leshe b'Sukkah because he holds Chiyuv d'yoma adiv. The obligation of the day takes precedence, meaning that the brach of Leshe b'Sukkah relates specifically to the obligation of Sukkahs. Rabbi Baruchana said that one recites HaShechianu first because he holds Tadir v'Sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kodem. When that which is frequent conflicts with that which is not frequent, that which is frequent takes precedence. The Gemara attempts to connect this Malchokas with Malchokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding which comes first when reciting Kiddush on Shabbos, the brach on the wine or the brach on the day, but concludes that they're not necessarily the same Malchokas. Point number 2, the final mission of the Masechta brings the Malchokas regarding the division of the Lechem Upanim the rest of the year. The Tanna Kamma holds that the incoming Mishmar and the outgoing Mishmar split the Lechem Upanim equally, with each Mishmar receiving 6 loaves. Rav Yehuda holds that the incoming Mishmar receives 7 loaves and the outgoing Mishmar receives 5 loaves. The Gemara asks what the reason is, according to Rav Yehuda, that the incoming Mishmar receives 7, and Rav Yitzchak answers, B'schar HaGafas D'Lasos, the 2 loaves are granted as compensation for closing the temple gates in the evening, meaning that those who open the gates in the morning should have the duty to complete the job and close them at night. Since the incoming Mishmar is doing the work of the outgoing Mishmar, it behooves the outgoing Mishmar to give 1 of their loaves in payment. When the Gemara suggests that the outgoing Mishmar should tell the incoming Mishmar to remove the enactment so that the following week it will be removed from them, Abai answered, Butsina Tava Makara, a small gourd now is better than a large gourd later. In this case, the incoming Mishmar prefers to receive all that it's entitled to immediately than to defer some of it to later. And point number three, the Mishnah stated that the Mishmar of Bilga was penalized in that it always divided the Lechem Apanim in the south. Its specific ring that was used to shech the carbon during its watch was sealed, so they had to use another Mishmar's ring, but Chalon Estuma and its specific alcove to deposit its knives was sealed. The Gemara explains that the reason for the penalties was either due to an incident involving Miriam Bas Bilga, a daughter of one of its members who became an apostate, or it was because the Mishmar was tardy in coming to the base of Migdash when it was their week to serve. The Gemara asks on the first reason if it's fair that the entire family be penalized over one daughter's actions. Abai answers that it is, as people say, shusa denuka b'shuka oda avua oda ime. The utterances of a child in public express the views of either his father or mother. When the Gemara persists and asks why the whole Mishmar should be penalized, Abai answers, oila rasha oila shcheno, woe to the wicked one and woe to his neighbor. The Gemara concludes, conversely, tov l'tzadik, tov l'shcheno. It will be good for the tzadik and good for his neighbor. All right, so now we go to our Simur Daf Nun Vav, and this Simur was suggested to us by Rabbi Shlomo Weissman from Passaic, New Jersey, and Rabbi Moshe White from Edmonton, Alberta, who both suggested that Nun Vav is the shusher in shul going nu nu, nu nu. So here goes. The shusher in the sukkah who shushed everyone down so they could hear the Shechianu before the Leisha B'sukkah and insisted on getting one extra roll for closing the sukkah door, was horrified when his little son told all the guests that people should stand in the presence of a shusher. Once again, in slow motion. The shusher in the sukkah, shusher, that must be more in Daf Nun Vav, nu nu. The shusher in the sukkah who shushed everyone down so they could hear the Shechianu before the Leisha B'sukkah, which reminds us of the machlokes regarding which takes precedence, the Barach on the sukkah or the Shechianu. Rav says that one recites the Leisha B'sukkah because he holds Chiyuv D'Yom Ha'Adif, the obligation of the day takes precedence, whereas Rabbi Barachana said that one recites the Shechianu first because he holds Tadir Sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kodim, when that which is frequent conflicts with that which is not frequent, that which is frequent takes precedence. The Gemara attempts to connect this machlokes to the machlokes between Beisham Beis Hillel regarding which comes first when reciting Kiddush on Shabbos, the Barach on the one and the Barach on the day, but concludes that they're not necessarily the same machlokas. So the shusher and the sukkah shushed everyone down so they could hear the Shechianu before the Leisha B'sukkah and insisted on getting one extra roll for closing the sukkah door, which reminds us, the final mission of the Masechta brings the machlokas regarding the division on the Lechem Apanim the rest of the year. The Tanakhama holds that the incoming Mishmar and the outgoing Mishmar split the Lechem Apanim equally, with each Mar receiving 6 loaves. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the incoming Mishmar receives 7 loaves and the outgoing Mishmar receives 5 loaves. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the 2 loaves are granted as schar hagafas dlasos, as compensation for the closing the temple gates in the evening, meaning that those who open the gates in the morning should have had the duty to complete the job and close them at night. Since the incoming Mishmar is doing the work of the outgoing Mishmar, it behooves the outgoing Mishmar to give one of their loaves in payment. So the shusher and the sukkah who shushed everyone down so they could hear the Shechianu before the Leisha B'sukkah and insisted on getting one extra roll for closing the sukkah door was horrified when his little son told all the guests that people should stand in the presence of a shusher. Which reminds us, 2 reasons are given as to why the Mishmar of Bilga was penalized in that it always divided the Lechem Apanim in the south. Its specific ring that was used to shech the carbon during its watch was sealed, so they had to use another Mishmar's ring, and a specific alcove to deposit the knives was sealed. It was either due to an incident involving Miriam Bas Bilga, a daughter of one of its members who became an apostate, or it was because the Mishmar was tardy in coming to the base of Migdash when it was their week to serve. The Gemara asks on the first reason if it's fair that the entire family be penalized over one daughter's action, and Abai answers that it is, as people say, shusa denuka b'shuka oda avu oda ime. The utterances of a child in public express the views of either his father or mother. When the Gemara persists, and that's why the whole Mishmar should be penalized, Abai answers, oila rasha oila shcheno. Woe to the wicked one and woe to his neighbor. The Gemara concludes, conversely, tov l'tzadik, tov l'shcheno. It will be good for the tzadik and good for his neighbor. So once again, the shusher in the sukkah who shushed everyone down so they could hear the Shechianu before the Leisha B'sukkah and insisted on getting one extra roll for closing the sukkah door was horrified when his little son told all the guests that people should stand in the presence of a shusher. We've now completed the 7th Masechta in this Machzor of Daf Yomi. May we continue to be Matzliach as we begin the 8th Masechta of Mitzvah Shem. We should be zochah to finish all of Shas together. All right, now it's time for 4 Blot Back Chazara. Daf Nun Beis. So the Simur Daf Nun Beis is a newbie to Yiddishkeit. So here goes. The female newbies to Yiddishkeit who sat up in the balcony away from the men to hear a shir about the Yetzirah, which reminds us that Rav brought a pasuk from Zechariah's vision of the war of Gog and Magog and the Hespedim over the death of Mashiach ben Yosef, where the women and men were separated to teach that it was permissible to make the Tikkun Gadol, the balcony for the women in the Ezus Nashim, so they shouldn't mingle with the men at the Simchas Beis Shaveva. If in the future when the world will be involved in the Hesped and the Yetzirah has no power over them as it will be eradicated, yet the Torah said that the men and women should mourn separately, and all the more so at the Simchas Beis Shaveva, when they are involved in Simcha and the Yetzirah has power over them, all the more so they should be separated. So the female newbies to Yiddishkeit, who sat up in the balcony away from the men to hear a shir about the Yetzirah, were shown pictures of mountains and strands of hair, which reminds us that there is a Malchus Ridos in the Rabban regarding the nature that has been mentioned above. One said it was over Mashiach ben Yosef, who had been killed in battle, and one said it will be for the Yetzirah, which will have been eradicated. The Gemara asks, why does the eradication of the Yetzirah warrant weeping? And answers, the Rebbe expanded that in the future, Kadosh Baruch Hu will bring the Yetzirah and shecht it in the presence of Tzaddikim and the Rishayim. To the Tzaddikim, the Yetzirah will appear like a high mountain that can hardly be scaled, and to the Rishayim will appear like a strand of hair that can easily be snapped. They will both cry. That Tzaddikim will weep and say, how were we able to overcome such a high mountain? And the Rishayim will weep and say, how were we not able to overcome the strand of hair? So the female newbies to Yiddishkeit, who sat up in the balcony away from the men to hear a shir about the Yetzirah, were shown pictures of mountains and strands of hair, and taught the different meanings of its seven names. Which reminds us that Rav Avir expanded, others say it was Rabbi Shubin Levi, that Shiva Shem was Yeshua Yetzirah. The Yetzirah has seven different names. We also learn from the incident where Abai became despondent because he said he would have not been able to restrain himself from sin if he had been walking with a woman, was told by Eliyahu Navi, Kol Gadol Mechavero Yitzro Gadol Hamenu. Whoever is greater than his fellow, his Yetzirah is greater than his fellows as well. So Rabbi Shimon Lakish said, Yitzro Shal Adam Yisgabro Lav B'chol Yom U'mevakesh Lav Miso. A man's Yetzirah threatens every day to overpower him and seeks to kill him. V'imalei Kodesh Baruch Hu She'ozulo Inu Yochulo. And if not for Kodesh Baruch Hu aids him, he would be unable to withstand it. Daf Nun Gimel. So the Simur Daf Nun Gimel is a Nigerian prince. So here goes. The Nigerian prince, that must mean we're on Daf Nun Gimel. The Nigerian prince who is mourning the loss of his two scribes, which reminds of Rabbi Yochanan said, Ragoy Dvar Inish Inun Arvin Be, a person's feet are his guarantors, Lasid the Mitzbah, Taman Mavion Yasef. To where he's summoned, there they lead him. Rashi explains that when one's time comes, his feet bring him to the place where he's meant to die. The Gemara brings the incident of Shlomo Melch, who tried unsuccessfully to save his two scribes from the Malchim Mavis when he sent them to lose. So the Nigerian prince, who was mourning the loss of his two scribes, overheard nonstop rejoicing in a shul that lasted for 7 days straight, which reminds us it was taught in a brace where Bishuv Mechananya said that when we rejoice at the Simchas Beis HaShaveva, our eyes would see no sleep for all of Sukkot, and proceeds to detail the activities that occurred from the beginning of the day through the night. The Gemara clarifies that Rabbi Yeshua meant that they did not enjoy a proper sleep, for they would only doze on each other's shoulders. So the Nigerian prince, who was mourning the loss of his two scribes, overheard nonstop rejoicing in a shul that lasted for 7 days straight, featuring a massive orchestra that played on 15 steps. Which reminds us, the Mishnah on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis stated that during the Simchas Beis HaShaveva, the Levim, with their countless number of instruments, stood on the 15 steps that led down from the Ezrus Yisrael to the Ezrus Nashim, connected the Chamish Yisrael Shirah Malos Shibatehillim, connected the 15 Shirah Malos that are in Tehillim. The Gemara brings a source for the 15 Shirah Malos. When David HaMelech was excavating the pits beneath the Mizbech, the waters of the deep came up and threatened to flood the world. When David saw that the water had subsided to a depth of 16,000 amos after he had thrown a shard with Hashem's name on it, based on Achitofel's Kal Vachomer from the Sota, he said that the higher the water, the more moist and fertile the earth will be. So he recited the 15 Shirah Malos and brought the water back up 15,000 amos until there were only 1,000 amos below the earth's surface. Daf Nun Dalet. So the Simur Daf Nun Dalet is noodles. So here goes. The noodle-loving king. That must mean we're on Daf Nun Dalet. Noodles. The noodle-loving king who required his subjects to blow trumpets 3 times on the 10th step when they offered him noodles, which reminds us, the Gemara points out that the Mishnah on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis that listed the 48 blasts that took place every Shabbos during the Chag mentions 3 blasts that took place by the Mizbeach, whereas the Mishnah on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis mentions the 3 blasts that were sounded when the trumpeters reached the 10th step. The Gemara explains that this Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda ben Yaakov, who holds that since the blowing was done at the gates, what relevance is there to blow on the 10th step? Therefore, the Mizbeach is adif, is preferable, and the previous Mishnah is Rabban, who hold that since the blowing was for the water drawing, the 10th step is related to that, whereas the Mizbeach is not. So the noodle-loving king who required his subjects to blow trumpets 3 times on the 10th step when they offered him noodles, and then blow 9 times again for each additional offering, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan bar Chanina brings a braisa and a pasuk which he uses to base his ruling that 9 blasts of the trumpets are done for each separate musaf. The Gemara will bring several challenges to this ruling, attempting to show that on certain days it would result in more than the 48 maximum soundings of the chatzrotzrotz mentioned in the Mishnah. So the noodle-loving king who required his subjects to blow trumpets 3 times on the 10th step, when they offered him noodles, and then blow 9 times again for each additional offering, changed the fast day schedule so he would never have to abstain from noodles on a Sunday. Which reminds us, the Gemara explains that when the first day of Sukkot is scheduled to fall on Erev Shabbos, Matchil Dechinule, we postpone it 1 day until Shabbos, since if the first day of Sukkot falls out on Erev Shabbos, then Yom Kippur would have been on the previous Sunday. In order to prevent that from happening, we add a day to Elul in order to postpone it 1 day. Rashi explains that it's not desirable for Yom Kippur to fall Shabbos, since anyone dying on Shabbos would remain unburied for 2 days until after Yom Kippur. And furthermore, any vegetables that one prepares to eat after Yom Kippur will have to be picked 2 days earlier on Friday and will wilt by the time they're needed. The Gemara will bring the opinion of others who do not hold of adjusting the calendar to prevent Yom Kippur from falling on a Sunday. Daf Nun Hey. So the Siman Daf Nun Hey is a speed limit sign of 55. So here goes. The proud crossing guard holding the speed limit sign, that must be on Daf Nun Hey. The proud crossing guard holding the speed limit sign, who would blow one long note on his whistle until all the additional animals crossed the road, which reminds us that after the Gemara successfully refutes the ruling of Rabbi Yochanan bar Chanina, who taught that a separate set of trumpet blasts are blown for each musaf offering, it asks how to understand the brayse and the pasuk that Rabbi Yochanan bar Chanina brought as a source for his teaching. Rabina said, "Lomar shemarichim b'tekiyas." The brayse and the pasuk mean only that the blasts are lengthened, not that they're repeated. The Rabban of Kasariah said, and then Rabbi Acha, "Lomar shemarbi b'tokin." The brayse means to say that when there's more than one musaf, we increase the number of trumpeters, but not the number of trumpet blasts. So the proud crossing guard holding the speed limit sign, who would blow one long note on his whistle until all the additional animals crossed the road, gave up when he saw 70 bulls head toward him, which reminds us that the 70 bulls that are brought in sukkahs correspond to the Shivim Umos, the 70 nations, and they provide kapara for them in order that rain may fall throughout the world. The single bull of Shmini Atzeres is Keneged Uma Yechida. It corresponds to the singular nation of Israel. This can be compared to a king of flesh and blood who said to his servants to prepare for him a big banquet. When the final day of the banquet came, he said to his beloved companion, "Asli Sudukatana Kadei She'ena Mimcha. Prepare for me a small meal so they may enjoy your company." Rashi explains that it is as if to say that I derive pleasure from your company alone. So the proud crossing guard holding the speed limit sign, who would blow one long note on his whistle until all the additional animals crossed the road, gave up when he saw 70 bulls head toward him, guided by 24 ranchers who like to share meat equally on their holidays. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that during 3 periods of the year referring to the Regalim, all 24 Mishmaros were equal in the sharing of the Emurim of the Regalim and in the division of the Lechem Apanim. It was taught in a braisa, the Torah states, "Ubaba ko avos navsho v'sheres," and he comes with all the desire of his soul, and he shall serve. This teaches that a kohen may offer kabbanis even if it's not the week of his watch. To dispel the notion that this is even on other days of the year other than the regalim, the Torah states, "Me'achad sha'arecha," from one of your cities. "Lo amarti el b'shar shekol Yisrael nichnasim b'shar echad." I've only said all mishmaros are equal when they enter one gate, which is the time of the regalim. During all other times, only kohanim of that week's watch are entitled to offer the kabbanis. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman. Zichu, wishing a great day and great learning.